とても、嬉しく思います。特に「サイレントヒル」っていう作品は、ゲームでありながらとても映画のようなゲームっていう作品性を目指していたので、そこの元の映画っていうところからこの「サイレントヒル」というコンテンツが、ある意味選ばれて作品になるということはとても嬉しく思います。もともとの「サイレントヒル」っていうゲームが、さっき言ったように映画から影響を受けたということで、特にデビッド・リンチだったりスティーブン・キングだったり、それこそジェイコブス・ラダーだったりっていう作品の影響はとても大きいんですね。だからそういったものを影響されて僕らが「サイレントヒル」っていうゲームを作ったように、映画館になればそれら彼らの作品のような、足して3で割ったよっていう簡単にはいかないけれど、そういった作品に仕上がるのではないかなっていうのは思いました。もちろん映画もそうなんですけど、特に「サイレントヒル」っていうゲームはホラーでありながら、人の心理状況とか感情的な面とか人間性みたいなところをすごく深く追求しているところがあるんですね。で、特にそのちょっと難しくなっちゃうんですけど、ドストエフスキーの「罪と罰」とか、特に「サイレント2」であればドストエフスキーの「罪と罰」なんていうのはとても参考にして、その作品、この「サイレント2」には「罪と罰」っていうのがすごく色濃く影響されてますね。サイレントヒル1で出てきた、看護婦のリサが僕は結構お気に入りというか印象的ですね。で、それは比較的「サイレントヒル1」ではほとんどちょい役というか、そんなに主人公クラスでは全然出てこないんですけど、ストーリー上で描かれるリサの、感情とか、そのリサが出てくる登場する理由だったりっていうところで、大きく「サイレントヒル」っていう根底的に流れるお話とは離れてはいないんですけど、リサを通して伝えられる人間の悲しさとか、そういうのがすごく出てるんですね。本当に少ない登場なんですけど、僕はすごく印象的で好きですね。これもサイレントヒル1なんですけど、最初に自分の子供がハリーの子供がいなくなって追いかけてくるシーンで、次第に今、だんだん詰まっていくとですね、路地裏でカメラが、パンニングしながら彼を頭上からこう追いかけて、プレイアブルのシーンなんですけど、追いかけるシーンがですね そこはすごく印象的です。すごくそこを作った時は比較もう今までのゲームにはないカメラワークだと、自画自賛するぐらいすごい怖さっていうのがすごい出てたシーンで、ドラマティックな部分ではないですけど、これから向かうであろう恐怖というか、そういうのをすごくよく表現してるシーンなので、とても印象的ですね。僕は「サイレントヒル」っていうのを作りながら、実はというか、自分が一番多分「サイレントヒル」のファンでもあるっていう自負っていうのはあるんですね。で、そういう立場で「サイレントヒル」を作りながら「サイレントヒル」の一番の自分がファンだということで、今回クリス・ガンと監督とお会いできたっていうか、一緒に作品をね作らせてもらうっていうだけでも光栄なんですけど、まずここでちょっとじゃあ置いときます。
Well, it's very, very complex because the series of Silent Hill, the games, are based on a very emotional approach of the storytelling. I mean, usually in a game, you have to face danger, you have to be a warrior, you have to be a hero. In Silent Hill, you can't be a hero. You stay until the end, somebody with very, very deep emotional feeling. And so, in a way, it's very disturbing. A lot of people talk about why these games are so frightening. and they talk about the atmosphere, they talk about the colors, they talk about the creature. But I think that these games are very frightening because the characters are very emotional. And basically, they are very vulnerable. And you can't fight against the creature in the game. You can kill one or two creatures, but quickly, you have to run. And that's one of the secrets of the success of this series, is that basically the creator of the series decides that the gamer has to stay a human being and not try to be like an idealistic vision of himself or herself. So that's a very important point. And so when you're playing to the game, your feelings are very confusing, very disturbing, and constantly you try to see where is the line between good and evil, where is the line between making something good and making something ugly. And the loneliness of your character through the adventure, because most part of the time you're completely alone in the fog and in the dark, make that you're very, very vulnerable in terms of moral perspective according your what you have to do in the game. I mean, every gamer will understand what I say when, for example, I will talk about in the first game when you have to kill Sybil. That's an horrific moment. That's certainly one of the most horrific moments in a gamer life. The moment where you have basically to kill the only character who can help you, because you have to do that. And it's why the game is, for me, a very pervert experience, because constantly you have to define yourself through action that sometimes you don't want to do. Or most part of the time, all the game are about things that you want to do, that you would love to do if you were a hero. In Silent Hill, you're forced to do some action that just make you feel very alone and very disturbed. And it's a very mature way to approach game, I think. I think that, for me, that's maybe the first game that we can say it was mature. It was conceptualized in a very mature way. There is no other game like Silent Hill. You know, it's great because as a director, I have adapted a comic book, I have adapted a script, but I never adapted before a game. And I realized when I was doing that it was completely different. When you're reading a book, you figure what can be the color, what can be the shape of the thing that described in the book. But when you're adapting a game, you're adapting something that actually you have lived for real. It's like going in a different country. It's like going to Pakistan, coming back and say, I want to tell a story about my trip in Pakistan. That's exactly the same thing with game, and especially with a game like Silent Hill. When I was adapting this game, it was like I had the feeling that I have to tell to the people what was exactly my feeling and my adventure when I was in Silent Hill, when I spent so many hours in the night playing to Silent Hill. It was like a foreign country. Oh, I'm going to tell you how it's be to be in Silent Hill. So it's a very, very interesting thing. It's why it become also very personal as a process. You know, you can't adapt a game just because you have to adapt a game. It's not that adapting a game is not like adapting a comic book. You know, it's completely different because you have the feeling to have been there, you know, and bring back some truth about what was the experience to face that adventure. So it's, I would say that it's almost like a self-biography, adapting a game, a good game, of course. No, of course not. You know, when we are dealing with bad games, of course you have to play the game to enjoy an adaptation. But I think that Silent Hill, like all the great creation, expand the boundaries of its medium. I mean, Silent Hill is not only a game. For me, it's a piece of modern art. It's not only a game. It's a beautiful thing. I mean, it's something frightening, it's something disturbing, it's something very beautiful. And no, I think that yeah, Silent Hill is a very, very complex thing. I think that Silent Hill, because it's a modern art piece, you have to be aware not only about games, but also about painting, filmmaking, writing. I mean, like every important piece of art, it covers many mediums. You know, when you're looking at a movie by David Lynch, I admire David Lynch, you have the feeling to see a movie which also has a beautiful pictorial strength, but also something, a very beautiful writing quality. And of course, the music is also important. I mean, in complete peace of heart, you know, you're covering many mediums. And I have the feeling that the game of Silent Hill is all about music, writing, aesthetic, photographic feeling. You know, it's everything in one piece. So, yes, when I have to adapt Silent Hill, you know, I watch some work of some painter like Francis Bacon. I'm watching again the photography of Bellemare. I'm watching some movie from East Europe, or very old film like the one by Luis Buñuel. I mean, it's everything which can help you to have this surrealistic perception, you know, is important. You see what I mean? I mean, it's not like, okay, I'm going to take a piece of that, a piece of that, a piece of that. You know, adapting Silent Hill is a matter of sensitivity. And if you want that sensitivity be completely aware, you have to watch again the work of some painters, the work of some director, the work of some, you know, writers, just to make your sensitivity at the right level to make this that kind of adaptation possible. You know, I don't think that you can simply take pieces everywhere. We are not dealing with a game which is like a B-movie. I mean, like, a puzzle of different influence. You know, Silent Hill exists by itself. It has no equivalent. So you have to be in the right mood to do it. Oh, I think it's a question that I'm going to hear a lot. In fact, what happened is that because we wanted to adapt the first game, it was obvious for us, I mean, for me and my co-writers, that the hero will be Harry Mason, and the hero of the first game. And when we start to write him, respecting his personality, we found that he was acting, he was talking like a woman. You know, this guy, and he worked very well in the game, but when you try to transpose him as a real character, it's a woman. And for me, there was two options. Or I was transforming completely the guy and accept his name, or I was trying to keep the psychological atmosphere of the character, and I was making him a woman. And we decided to make him a woman. I think that because Silent Hill is a very beautiful creation, I don't think that it's important if the main character is wearing a dress or a pants. What is important is that he has a very specific quality into his or her feeling, and it has a specific mood. And we thought that the fan will understand very well that, because we'll preserve the atmosphere of the game, which is the most important thing. You know, as a gamer, as a fan of Silent Hill, that's for me the real thing to preserve, the atmosphere. And I don't care if the character is a man or a girl, if the atmosphere is there. And, you know, it's a very important point, but what can work into a medium not necessarily work into another medium. I mean that game is game, movie is movie. And sometime in a game, just a little ambiguity is enough to make a character very realistic. Not in a film. In a film, you have to create a, what they call a psychological arc. You have to take the character and make him, you know, evolving through scenes. And it's true that for us, when we have adapted Silent Hill, what was important is adapt the mythology and the atmosphere of the game, but we try to make the character more complex than in the game. But keeping in mind that this, each of these characters has a special mood and was bringing a special quality to the atmosphere of the game. So I think that the gamer will be happy to find that Sybil Bennett is in the film, that Dahlia Gillespie is in the film, Alyssa Gillespie is in the film. But they will find also that this character have evolved, you know. Also because a movie has to expand the psychological vision of each character, you know. If not, we'll have to make something which will look very cardboard, you know. And I think it will be not a great thing to do with Silent Hill, you know. So the best thing that I have to do was to transpose as much as possible the character of Silent Hill and making them in flesh and blood, and no more like just a nice icon of CG imagery, something in flesh and blood. There is so many monsters, so many creatures with an interesting design in the game. It was like, oh, it's like opening the library queue of Akira. So many beautiful things here. And when you open the zoo of Silent Hill, so many beautiful creation, so many amazing creatures. And in fact, because I'm an early gamer, I wanted to give my homage to the creature of the first one and the second one. I love the creature of the third one, and some of the creature of the fourth one are amazing. But sentimentally, you know, it was impossible for me to don't have in my film the armless creature, I mean Straitjacket, the nurses, or Red Pyramid, Pyramid Head. And it was impossible. I could not imagine Silent Hill without this creature, for example. And that some of the creature that you will see in the film, some of them, there is more. But I think that every fan also, it's like the music. Every fan can't imagine a film inspired by Silent Hill without the nurses or without the Red Pyramid. I mean, it's impossible. You know, they are so amazing. And in fact, we love this monster because every fan know that the monster in Silent Hill are not the most monstrous things in Silent Hill. The monster in Silent Hill sometimes are pathetic and strangely human. The real monster in Silent Hill are human being. And that's one of the reasons it was important to keep this monster. Because they constantly recall us that the real monstrosity is not apparent. The real monstrosity, and that's one of the messages of the film, is in the mind of human being. And this monster have also that use. It's a very important use to understand the world of Silent Hill. It's difficult, you know, because there are so many amazing moments that I have spent in these games. But let's say that the death of Sybil on the merry-go-round in the first one, it was amazing. Of course, the first time you met Red Pyramid in the dark in the second one, and of course the climax of the second one is amazing, and when you realize the truth about your relationship with your wife, I mean it's unforgettable. And actually, it's funny because these two moments make me cry. So that's one of the reasons I like to think that it was important to adapt this game. It's because it's not only about fear, it's about emotion. And these two very moments that I have, remembering, actually make me cry, made me cry. That's important. There is not so many games that make you cry, with your joystick in the hands. It's very rare. It's unique.